Good morning. Our reading, our reading is taken from Proverbs 1, from verse 20, and it's on page 635 in the Church Bibles. Wisdom calls aloud in the streets. She raises her voice in public squares. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. In the gateway of the city, she makes her speech. Where I'm reading to. Yeah. How long will you simple ones love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? If you have responded to my rebuke, I would have poured out my heart to you and made my thoughts known to you. But since you rejected me, I called and no one gave heed when I stretched out my hand. Since you ignored all my advice and would not accept my rebuke, I in turn will laugh at your disaster. I will mock when calamity overtakes you. When calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, when distress and trouble overwhelm you. Then they will call to me, but I will not answer. They will look for me, but will not find me. Since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord, since they would not accept my advice and spurned my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways and will be filled with the fruit of their schemes. For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear or harm.
Thank you, Tish. Well, we're having a little series in the early chapters of Proverbs. Don't expect any actual Proverbs in this section. They don't kick in until around about chapter 10. But what we are looking at are a series of speeches given by two different voices. One is the voice of a father to his son, offering advice to the young lad as he makes his way in the world. The other is the voice of a woman, Lady Wisdom. And there are four poems in all in this early section of the book, where wisdom is personified as a woman calling out to humanity to listen to her and to seek her out. Wisdom says that she is woven into the very fabric of the universe. Whenever people are making wise decisions, they're relying on her. Whenever someone is being generous, being faithful in their relationships, or upholding justice, they're drawing on wisdom. So these Lady Wisdom poems are a creative and poetic way of exploring the idea that we live in a moral universe, and that goodness and justice are objective realities that we ignore at our own peril. Good and right are real, not just imaginary. And to fear the Lord and live wisely is to live along with the grain of the universe. So what we've got in these twin speeches is not just good advice, but an invitation from God to learn human and divine wisdom from previous generations of God's people. A lot of it is very down-to-earth, practical, ordinary stuff. But put all together, it's got a message for us that's relevant and important. And more than that, they reflect something of God's character, something of his intention for a perfect creation. So with the words of a royal father to his son and the words of a mysterious woman who we're going to find out was involved in the very act of creation itself, though I am jumping ahead by saying that, that's where we're going to finish our little series. For now, I just want to emphasize that we've got a perfect pairing of male and female in these chapters. So I'm trying to arrange it so that a lady reads the wisdom poems and a man reads the father bits. See how that works out as we go along. And I wonder, does this perfect pairing of male and female remind you of anything? Well, back on page one of the Bible, when God was making his perfect creation, we're told this. So God created humankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And those two together are called Adam. That's a Hebrew word that literally means earth, but seems also to have the meaning of a child of God. And from it we get Adam, which is the name we give to the first man. So it's as if we're seeing in these early chapters of Proverbs an image of God who is both male and female, speaking to his children, men and women, and urging them to live rightly. This is how God wanted creation to be. Man and woman, created in God's own image, ruling over all of creation together with him. But life isn't perfect, is it? We know that very well. Human beings have got a choice, and all too often, they make the wrong choice. And here is God, speaking in both voices, saying to us, don't make a mistake, choose rightly. So let's have a look at what Lady Wisdom's got to say, shall we? Begins in verse 20 of chapter 1 on page 635. And the first thing we discover is that Lady Wisdom puts herself about. She's to be found out in the open, in the public square, the head of the noisy streets, in the gateways of the city. And she's out there saying, listen, you lot, don't be foolish or the wicked will eat your lunch. Pay attention. This matters. And I think the point of saying that she's out there is for us to realise that God's message to us is available. It's out there. It's not something that we're going to be able to say, oh, well, I never knew. I thought I could just please myself. Nobody told me. Sorry, but that excuse is not going to be available to us. God's message is there. It's being broadcast. We need to tune in. And look at what she says. She really talks like God in these verses, doesn't she? She says, if you listen to me, I will pour out my thoughts to you. I will make known to you my teachings. Sounds a bit like Jesus, doesn't it? But since you don't, you can call to me, but I won't answer. You can look for me, but you won't find me. And that sounds like the prophets, doesn't it? Now, what she's saying here is very simple morality. There's no complications here, no shades of grey. Listen to me and you'll live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. But refuse my advice, spurn my rebuke, and you will eat the fruit of your ways. So do the right thing, and everything will go well for you. Do the wrong thing, disaster. And that's the thing about Proverbs. Everything is simplified down to its most basic form. And we're all going to be thinking, yeah, but hang on a minute, it's more complicated than that. And yes, it is. But that doesn't mean that underneath it all, there isn't still this basic principle of right and wrong. We can say, oh yeah, but life is more complicated than that. I've got to make judgments, I've got to decide things. But right still matters, and wrong and evil are still real. Once you've read Proverbs, you might need to counterbalance it with something like Ecclesiastes, which is also taking Solomon's voice and imagining him now as an old man turned cynical who's saying, oh, what's the point? Everything goes round in circles. There's nothing new under the sun. So Proverbs is maybe young and idealistic. Ecclesiastes is old and cynical. But together, they're offering us two different sides of human wisdom through which God can speak his wisdom into our lives. And simplicity has its place. It's where we all begin. And today, at the start of Lent, it's no bad place to return to. Everything has consequences. Do what's right and there will be blessing. Do what's wrong and you will suffer. So let's finish by thinking of the implications of this. Once again, these days, our public life is dominated by voices who don't mind telling falsehoods if they gain a political advantage. The question of whether something is the right thing to do has been eclipsed by the question of what is the expedient thing to do. And it's very tempting to live like this ourselves. Why should I do something that disadvantages me? If there are no consequences, what's to stop me putting myself first? Well, Proverbs tells us that yes, there are consequences. That right and wrong do matter. That God is not blind to our actions. Here we are at the start of Lent. And let's take this as a reminder that our actions are significant. That the good that we do has real benefits. And the evil that we do does real harm. The very best thing we can do with our lives is to follow Jesus as closely as we can. If our lives resemble his, not only will we be blessed, but the world will truly be better for it. Amen.
Amen.